I'm VOA's Joe Ramsey with this worldwide news update. Russian President Vladimir Putin said on Thursday he agrees with proposals to halt the fighting in Ukraine, but said more discussions are needed on a U.S. proposal for a 30-day ceasefire. Putin told reporters at the Kremlin any deal would need to lead to long-term peace and address what he called the original causes of this crisis. The Russian president thanked U.S. President Donald Trump for his efforts to end the war. President Trump at the White House on Thursday said Russia's response was promising and said it would be very disappointing if Russia doesn't accept the deal. Both presidents suggested they were ready to speak to each other for further discussions. Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, was in Moscow on Thursday to meet with senior Russian officials. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Putin is, quote, essentially preparing to reject the ceasefire. Zelensky said in his nightly address that Putin is afraid to tell President Trump directly that he wants to continue this war and that he wants to kill Ukrainians. Ukraine accepted the ceasefire proposal earlier this week. NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte praised President Trump on Thursday for his actions leading the ceasefire proposal discussions with Ukraine and Russia. Rutte visited the White House's Oval Office on Thursday, and he also backed Trump's efforts to motivate countries in the transatlantic alliance to increase defense spending. Trump's recent comments have rattled allies. European military leaders met this week after the president raised doubts about the U.S. protecting other NATO countries. This is VOA News. The U.S. and EU on Thursday traded threats over alcohol tariffs. President Trump responded to the EU's planned tax on American whiskey with a post on social media. He wrote, quote, if this tariff is not removed immediately, the U.S. will shortly place a 200% tariff on all wines, champagnes, and alcoholic products coming out of France and other EU-represented countries, adding, quote, this will be great for the wine and champagne business in the U.S. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said Thursday the bloc's trade commissioner is scheduled to have discussions on Friday with his U.S. counterpart. She equated the tariffs to taxes and said, quote, they are bad for business and they are bad for consumers. But von der Leyen defended the European import tax, which came in response to the Trump administration's upcoming steel and aluminum tariffs. And she said, quote, at the same time, I also want to emphasize that we are open for negotiations. The leader of the Democrats in the U.S. Senate says he will help advance a Republican-led funding bill to keep the government open. The threat of a government shutdown had been growing in recent days. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said a shutdown would be worse than passing the bill, and he said not funding the government before Friday's midnight deadline could hand Trump and his billionaire backer Elon Musk more power as they work to gut federal operations. The Democrats are facing pressure to do something to slow down or stop Trump and Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, which has played a role in the firings of thousands of federal workers. Republicans had also threatened to blame their opposition for the shutdown, despite arguments from Democrats that they were not involved in negotiations and do not have a majority in either chamber of the United States Congress. The spending bill is expected to have major consequences for the nation's capital city. The mayor of Washington, D.C. has said it would require the district to cut more than $1 billion in spending, including to education and public safety. The Trump administration immediately appealed an order from a federal judge on Thursday to rehire thousands of probationary workers across multiple agencies. The San Francisco-based judge said the firings didn't follow federal law, ruling in a lawsuit brought by a coalition of labor unions. The agencies include the Departments of Veterans Affairs, Defense, Energy, Agricultural, the Interior, and Treasury. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, VOANews.com. I'm Joe Ramsey, VOA News.
Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Motti in Washington. Today is Friday, March 14. And here are some of the stories we are covering. The Southern African Development Community announces the withdrawal of its troops from Eastern DRC.
This extraordinary SADC summit has made the bold decision to withdraw our mission from the Eastern DRC. Our august regional body will remain seized with the political and security situations in Eastern DRC.
Kenya vows to rescue chiefs abducted by Al-Shabaab militants more than a month ago. Tropical cyclone Jude causes no deaths, but heavy damage in Malawi and Mozambique. Angolan airport authorities deport some Tanzanian political leaders.
Yes, I am in Ethiopia right now. I was deported from Luanda to Ethiopia. We were detained in the airport, Luanda airport. They have not stated any reason why they have deported us.
And we'll hear about the journey of a South Sudanese refugee woman from Khartoum to Port Sudan. Those stories plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. The Southern African Development Community, SADC, has announced the withdrawal of its troops from Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo and is calling for the resumption of dialogue. The decision was made during a virtual extraordinary summit of heads of state on Thursday. Moses Javier Rimana reports.
The decision to withdraw the Southern African Development Community forces comes after presidents of 16 member states and the government representatives met virtually in an extraordinary summit on security in the region. Emmerson Mnangagwa, the chairperson of the South African Development Community and the president of Zimbabwe, is calling for dialogue as the key for lasting peace.
This extraordinary SADC summit has made the bold decision to withdraw our mission from the Eastern DRC. Our august regional body will remain seized with the political and security situation in Eastern DRC.
This is not the first time a regional force has intervened but withdrawn from the region. The forces of the East African Community withdrew from the area in December 2023 after 1 year. The executive secretary of the SADC, Elias Magosi, says that there is concern over the deteriorating humanitarian condition in the DRC and that an urgent diplomatic solution is needed.
The summit reiterated the need for a political and diplomatic solution with all parties, including state, non-state parties, military and non-military in the Eastern DRC for the restoration of peace, security and tranquility in the country.
Since the beginning of the year, more than 7,000 people have been killed in the region as M23 rebel group captured the key towns of Goma and Bukavu. The DRC government accuses Rwanda of supporting the rebels, an allegation that Rwanda denies. Rwanda's Foreign Affairs Minister Olivier Nduhungirehe says that the withdrawal of the SADC mission and the call for the dialogue is the right decision for helping to end the crisis.
Rwanda has always welcomed the dialogue between the government of DRC and M23. This was also in the texts of the conclusions of the joint EAC SADC summit in Dar es Salaam, which was held on 8th February this year.
In February, the East African Community and the SADC heads of state called for the immediate ceasefire and the merger of the Luanda and Nairobi processes, which called for dialogue between the DRC, Rwanda and the M23 rebel group. Freddy Mukasambide is the president of Uganda's Democratic Party and regional integration expert. He says that the withdrawal of SADC forces is a wise move needed to prompt the DRC government to come to the table.
The process of SADC, because it had been convoluted and created a labyrinthine and Byzantine nature of a relationship between it and the Congolese government, thereby giving it a figment of a possibility that they would be the solution to fight the M23 and other fighting forces. SADC has done the best thing to take off so that the Congolese now begin to actually focus on a solution that is permanent to their problem.
The Alliance Fleuve Congo, along with the M23, released a communique stating that President Felix Tshisekedi should publicly and unequivocally announce his commitment to direct negotiations with the group. Despite the Nairobi and Luanda processes that have been in place for years, analysts say the expected talks late this month would likely be more productive for the 1 million DRC refugees waiting to return home. Moses Javier Rimana for VOA Africa.
An apparent diplomatic debacle occurred yesterday, Thursday, at Angola's Luanda airport, where more than 20 senior leaders and representatives of political parties across Southern Africa were detained and some of them deported immediately. There has been no comment from the Angolan government. The officials have gone to Luanda to participate in discussions at the Platform for African Democrats Forum organized by the Brentford Foundation from March 13 to 16. Nazra Omar is the foreign affairs spokesperson of the ACT Wazalondo party. From the Ethiopian airport in Addis Ababa, she tells me that Angolan authorities detained and deported them.
We are supposed to attend a democratic dialogue that was supposed to happen at Benguela from 13th of March to 16th of March. And what happened in Angola, Luanda, when we arrived around 12 noon, we were detained there. And among delegates were our first vice president of Zanzibar, Honorable Othman Masoud Othman, who has been also detained. And the passport until now has been confiscated.
Did Angolan authorities know that your delegation was coming into the country?
Angola authority has all the information because our ambassador that represents Tanzania in Zambia and Angola were there as among the delegates of Vice President of Zanzibar's delegation.
You are in Ethiopia right now as we speak. How did you get there? Was that your original route of return?
Yes, I am in Ethiopia right now. I was deported from Luanda to Ethiopia, and I was supposed to connect Luanda to Benguela, but I was deported because we were detained in the airport, Luanda airport, and with no reason, they have not stated any reason that to why they have deported us.
You said you were ordered to leave Angola. What happened then to leaders from other African countries who were there with you? Were they also ordered to leave Angola?
Yes, we were ordered to leave, and we were detained at first. Our passport has been confiscated for so many hours, like 6 to 8 hours. And as for now, we spoke to some of the delegates, some of the Ben Thrust Foundation delegates, and they're still in Angola. Right now in Luanda, they have not given their passport, and our first vice president, Honorable Othman Masoud, is still in Angola right now. His passport and his delegation's passport all are confiscated by the Angola authority.
What is your party's message to the Angolan authorities and to the government of Tanzania?
Message to Angola authority is that we would like to have the answers to why we have been detained, why we have been mistreated like that, and where is the SADC? Because we are the member of SADC, and why they did what they did. And above all, we have so many leaders, we have so many prominent leaders, among them our vice president, who has been treated like a stranger, was treated like a criminal. So we would like to know the answers. And the other thing is, I think there's still a way to really strengthening our diplomatic process. And we should also have a communication with the Ministry of Foreign Affairs from Angola and Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Tanzania so that we know what really happened.
Nasra Omar is the foreign affairs spokesperson of Tanzania's ACT Wazalondo party. She was speaking with us from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. An Angolan journalist says the denial of entry into Angola and the detention and deportation Thursday of some leaders and representatives of political parties across Southern Africa is an embarrassment to the country. The officials have gone to Angola to participate in discussions at the Platform for African Democrats Forum. There has been no comment from the Angolan government. Angolan President João Lourenço is the current chairperson of the African Union for 2025. Veteran Angolan journalist Mario Pavai tells me that the Angolan government needs to provide an explanation.
Despite efforts from UNITA MPs to clarify with the Angolan authorities the reasons of the blockade for this, some said around 24 people, the reasons under this situation for them to be blocked at the airport, there's no any official answer until now. So this situation raises more political tensions in Angola between the ruling party MPLA and the opposition parties led by UNITA and also some civil society group. Until now, I need to underline there is no any official statement on the situation. Maybe late, but until now there is no any declarations, any officials told to the media the reasons under this kind of situations which becomes viral in the media locally, but also international in Africa and around the world.
What do you think this means now for Angola? Because Angola plays a very important role within SADC. In fact, Angola is sponsoring the peace talks for the Democratic Republic of Congo conflict. What would this mean? And you say that the government has not yet responded or made any comment on this.
Yes, this is quite embarrassing. It is a very difficult situation for Angola, not only concerning the role of mediations in the DRC conflict, but also in the world continent. I need to remind you that currently Mr. João Lourenço, Angola's president, who is in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is the rotative president of African Union. So this is quite embarrassing for Angola. How can a country like Angola explain these situations? Because the government, on one hand, say we have a constitutional democracy with civil rights, press freedoms, all freedoms, but on the ground we do not have. That's things that opposition and civil society members are underlining right now. This is quite embarrassing. We don't know what could happen in the incoming hours or day or so, but the government must come out to explain this situation because there's no any explanations, any apparent reasons to explain this kind of situation.
That was Mario Pavai, a veteran independent Angolan journalist. He was speaking with us from the capital, Luanda. You're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Friday, March 14. For more Africa news and features, visit our website at www.voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And still to come on our program, Samson O'Malley Sports. Kenya is committed to ensuring the safe return of five chiefs who were abducted last month in Mandera between the border of Kenya and Somalia. The five were taken by a suspected Al-Shabaab militia while on their way to attend a planning meeting how to cover a scheduled visit by President William Ruto to that region. Maureen Odhiambo reports.
The five chiefs, Mohamed Adawa, Mohamed Hassan, Mohamed Noor, Assistant Chief Ibrahim Gabo, and Senior Chief Abdi Sura, were taken early last month in Mandera in the northern part of Kenya. The chiefs are said to have been taken to neighboring Somalia with no trace more than a month later. Kenya's Interior Principal Secretary Raymond Omolo, speaking on Wednesday on Kenya Spice FM, said a lot is happening to ensure the rescue of the chiefs.
We are constantly engaging. They crossed to our neighboring country. Interestingly, the borders are actually temporary distinctions between countries. The communities are basically the same. So there are active engagements that is happening to eventually ensure that they are safely back in the country and then they resume their duties.
President William Ruto, who visited the region a day after the abduction, assured the country that the five will be brought back home safely as he vowed to sustain the fight against terrorist groups. Security expert Richard Tuta said the matter is complex and that Kenya is applying multiple strategies to ensure the five chiefs are rescued.
But for now, nobody is sure of the strategy. And you know, some of these strategies normally are concealed because of the element of surprise that are involved with some of these strategies. So one thing for a fact that any country all over the world survives to protect its citizen and is always ready to go an extra mile to make sure that its citizens are safe.
Tuta says terror attacks and the security needed to respond to them are not neglected.
there is always this notion here that wherever such like an occurrence occurs, that people tend to think that it was as a result of a security lapse. That's not the case. If you understand the psychology of terrorism, sometimes they do these things just to provoke. And for reasons, maybe what they may have done in those areas was just to provoke, so that when the Kenya security agencies overreact, then they have a reason to say that, look, we are being targeted.
Last week, the UN Security Council extended sanctions on Somalia's militant group Al-Shabaab, allowing member states to seize vessels delivering weapons to the group. For VOA Africa, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Nairobi.
Tropical cyclone Jude slammed into parts of southern Africa this week, causing no deaths but widespread damage, especially in Malawi and Mozambique. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
Tropical cyclone Jude made landfall in northern Mozambique early Sunday and later moved over southern Malawi, resulting in heavy rains affecting 13 districts from Monday to Wednesday. A preliminary impact assessment from Malawi's Department of Disaster Management Affairs, released Thursday, shows that the cyclone has so far affected more than 11,000 people. This means their crops were washed away and their houses and property were either destroyed or submerged by floods. It says the cyclone also displaced more than 3,000 people, now sheltered in 6 evacuation camps. No deaths have been recorded, but the Disaster Management Department says 15 people have sustained injuries from collapsing buildings, with some hospitalized. Chipiriro Kamula is the department's spokesperson.
Reports indicate that 5 under 8-year-old males have sustained serious injuries. The 5-year-old is receiving medical attention at Queen Elizabeth Central Hospital. And the 8-year-old has been admitted as well, and is at Mwanza District Hospital.
He says the National Search and Rescue Team is still looking for 3 people who went missing on Tuesday in Insanja and Palombe districts after their boat capsized on a flooded river. A UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs says that in Mozambique, relief operations have been severely hampered by lack of access to thousands of people in Nampula province, where many roads, bridges, and culverts were washed away. The UN agency says moving relief items and personnel from Cabo Delgado province to Nampula is also difficult because the storm cut off the N1 national highway. However, in Malawi, international aid agencies and the government have started relief operations in accessible areas. For example, the World Food Program on Thursday distributed some relief items to affected people in Mulanje district. Jude is the 3rd cyclone to affect Mozambique in the past 3 months, following cyclones Chido in December 2024 and Dikeledi in January. Lamek Masina, VOA News, Blantyre, Malawi.
Many women fleeing the conflict in Sudan encounter difficulties on their journeys to other states across the country. 25-year-old Hibala Eldin Malith, who escaped from Khartoum with her mother and 3 siblings, made it to Port Sudan. Malith tells viewers John Tanza her journey from Khartoum to Port Sudan was tough.
We came by bus from the place that we stay in to a place called Suksita. There was buses there, and we took the bus to go to Adwem in the White Nile. In the road, we caused of hard things. We saw
some hard things happen to you on the road. Yeah. Tell me what happened to you exactly.
First thing, damn city. He was like stable in that place. When the bus was going to the White Nile, they stopped us, and then they was checking on our bags, They took money and they took gold. They took anything expensive.
They took anything that is expensive.
Yeah, they took anything expensive.
How did you know that these are rapid support forces?
We don't know. They was wearing their uniforms, so that means they're from them. After they take anything, there was a very beautiful girl in the bus. It was only with her mom. We was like 28 women and girls. There was no men except the driver. So they took that girl from her mom. Her mom was shouting and she cried, but they took the girl. And then they say to the driver, go. And if you didn't go, we will kill you and we will kill them all. So the driver, he drive and he took us to the White Nile.
And now for Daybreak Africa Sporting, here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Friday morning to you, Samson.
Good morning to you too, James. We begin the sports with football as Dr. Patrice Motsepe has been re-elected unopposed as president of the Confederation of African Football for a second four-year term. The decision was confirmed at the 14th CAF Extraordinary General Assembly held in Cairo, extending his leadership of the organization until 2029. Under his leadership, the organization set several new records at the African Cup of Nations Cote d'Ivoire 2023, attracting a record 1.4 billion viewers worldwide. Prize money for major tournaments, including the CAF Champions League and the CAF Women's Africa Cup of Nations, has also increased significantly alongside enhanced financial support for member associations. In tennis news, Nigeria table tennis star Aruna Quadri crashed out of the WTT Champions Chongqing 2025 after suffering a comprehensive 3-0 defeat to world number 2 Wang Chiqing of China in their round of 32 clash. The Nigerian, currently ranked 19th in the world, was overwhelmed by his Chinese opponent, who dominated proceedings at the Infinity Arena in Hangzhou, winning in straight games of 11-6, 13-11, 11-7, to advance to the next round of the $800,000 prize money tournament. Despite a spirited effort in the second game, where Aruna pushed the game to a deuce, the home favorite clinical performance proved too much for the African challenger, who managed just 24 points throughout the entire contest compared to Wang's 35. In athletics, Africa 800 meters silver medalist Lilian Odira is among 10 athletes named in the team to represent Kenya at next week's World Indoor Championships in Nanjing, China. Odira will fly the national flag of Kenya in the women's 800 meters alongside Vivian Chebet, with whom she represented Kenya at the Summer Olympics in Paris last year. The team, named by the Athletics Kenya on Thursday evening, boasts experienced athletes who have competed in various international events, including past edition of the World Indoor Championships. The 2022 World Indoor 800 meters silver medalist Noah Kibet makes a return to Team Kenya following a rich vein of form in the United States, where he has been stationed. Staying with athletics, the 45th edition of the London Marathon is set to break the world record for the most participants, with over 56,000 runners expected to compete in the April 27 race. The current record of 55,646 finishers was set by the New York City Marathon last November. London organizers said they had received a record 840,318 applications for the ballot to enter this year's race, with just under half of the applications coming for women. And that does it for this Friday's edition of Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a nice weekend. And that is it for this Friday, March 14th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for spending your week with us. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms. We are on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. Oh, VOA Africa is now available on WhatsApp to share your input on our broadcast or receive our daily news updates. Text us on +1 202-322-7501. You can also follow our WhatsApp channel by searching for our username, VOA Africa. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa team, I'm James Barton in Washington, saying have a nice weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.